Welcome to the CGOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we hear from Thomas Milich, the young Manitoba Moose goalie who has been named the AHL Player of the Week as the Moose are on a roll right now. And then we're going to talk to Skylar Park, Olympic hopeful from right here in Winnipeg. She went to the Olympics in Taekwondo in 2021. She's going again in 2024. We'll talk about her journey on the podcast. Thomas, when you go on a run like this, is there any explanation for it, or is it as simple as you're just getting used to the level of the AHL?
Yeah, no, it's hard to really pinpoint it, but you know, I think it's a lot of it's just the team dynamic right now. We're feeling really good in the room, and you know, we're always chasing that next win. So just being able to be a part of that and contribute is, you know, just trying to give it my best every night.
Was there a learning curve to making the jump from the WHL to the AHL?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think it's definitely quite a big jump, and I think being able to spend some time in Norfolk in the ECHL was beneficial for me to ease that transition a little bit. And, you know, I think the biggest difference for me is just that, you know, everyone's a good player in this league, and you know, every scoring chance is, you know, a good opportunity. So being able to be ready on every shot has been really important for me.
Was there a time where you realized that you felt more comfortable, or was it just a gradual thing?
No, I thought it happened pretty soon, or, you know, not too long after getting a couple games in. And, you know, definitely every game I'm feeling more comfortable, but, you know, I thought right away I felt like this is where I belonged, and, you know, just trying to learn something new every day.
So to be named the Player of the Week in the American Hockey League, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's pretty special. It's a nice feather to have in the cap, but I think it really speaks volumes to, you know, the team that's playing in front of me right now, and, you know, how well we're playing and how committed everyone is to, you know, doing all the right things, blocking shots, tracking back hard, and, you know, everything that goes with the win.
So what has been different about the way the team is playing now to compared to earlier in the season? Because the team, no doubt, is playing the best hockey of the season right now.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of things are just clicking right now. We're obviously hungry for every next win. And, you know, I think a lot of it's some of the habits that are going on the ice are very contagious. You know, like I said, blocking shots. You know, we see guys will see someone block a shot and they'll want to do the same thing the very next shift. So I think just having guys that are willing to step up and play the right way, and, you know, everyone else can feed off that.
So when you came back to the team in January, they were in the midst of an 11-game losing streak. You came back right before it was snapped. What was the mood in the locker room then compared to what it's like now?
Yeah, it's definitely a little different. You know, obviously being in a different spot in the standings, we were chasing a playoff at that point, and, you know, now we're trying to solidify one. So I think just, you know, as playoffs approach pretty quickly here, we're just focused on every next win, and, you know, the mentality in the room is really good right now.
The two wins you just picked up in Chicago on Friday and Saturday, how important were those games in the locker room, knowing that you can go in there and really build on your cushion in the playoff race?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those were huge couple wins for us. And, you know, I think it really just solidified in everyone's minds that, you know, we're capable of doing anything with this group. And, you know, of course, come a play-in series or playoff series, anything can happen. I like our odds.
So you play tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. How many morning games have you played in your pro career so far?
There's been a couple now, actually, but, you know, and something that I don't mind at all. It's, you know, being able to get up and, you know, get an early start to the day, and, you know, really, you don't have too much to think about before the game. You don't have a whole afternoon of, you know, napping and all the routines. It's just waking up and getting right to it. So we're excited for it.
I know last week you went into Milwaukee on an early day and you got your first AHL shutout. I know athletes are creatures of routine as well. When you have to just get up and play, how does that change how the mindset is going into a game? Or is it easier because you don't have hours to think?
Yeah, I know, it's kind of a little bit of both, I guess. I'm someone who's fortunate to, you know, not be super superstitious or anything. And, you know, I have my routines, but, you know, I think I just, as long as you get up at a reasonable hour, you still have plenty of time to get what you need to do done. And, you know, like you said, I think it, you know, helps a little bit with the mental side of the game of just getting right into it, not overthinking it too much, and getting a good start.
Do you have to get up earlier than you normally would?
A little bit, but that's the biggest priority for me, is just getting a good meal in, good breakfast, and from there it's just the usual routine.
So does that mean you have to go to bed early tonight?
Most likely, yeah.
Is it hard to make that switch, or do you have, or have you, prepared today to make sure that you're able to fall asleep quick enough?
Yeah, and you always have them back in your mind. You see the schedule in advance and you're preparing for it a little bit, but I think just being able to play uncomfortable is, a valuable skill at this level. And, especially when you're on the road for long hours, bus rides, plane rides, and all that, you're not always going to get a perfect sleep. So being able to improvise and adapt, regardless of how much time you have to prepare, is, something that's helped me out a lot.
So you mentioned you want to get a good breakfast in. What is a good breakfast for Thomas Milich?
Pretty standard for me. Just some eggs, some potatoes, some bacon, and I like a bit of yogurt in the morning too. So really just trying to fill myself up with some fuel and something that'll sit well in the stomach as well.
How do you like your eggs?
Typically scrambled. It just gets the job done for me.
Do you ever, so when you make the potatoes and the bacon, do y'all toss it in a bowl like a scramble, or do you like them separate?
I personally like them separate.
Okay.
Not mix them up too much, but if they're together already, that's no problem with me.
Okay. I prefer the scramble personally, but that's okay. And what is your bedtime then tonight to get up in time for the game tomorrow?
Tonight, usually around 10:30, and then I'll be up probably 7 o'clock tomorrow.
And you'll have no problem doing that?
Yeah, no problem. Excited for it.
All right. This run you're on right now, do you feel like your confidence is at a level you haven't been at since perhaps junior?
You could say that, but I'm kind of going into the mentality of every next game with the mindset of I haven't done anything yet. So just being able to continue proving myself every night, or every morning in this case, and just never being satisfied.
And on Grand Rapids, the last time you faced them were both shootouts. So how tight of a game are you expecting tomorrow?
Yeah, of course. We know they're a great team with some offensive firepower. So we're going to do what we can to try and take control of the game early. But you always got to expect a close game with a good team like that.
And how different is the atmosphere at a game when there's just a ton of kids screaming in the crowd the whole time?
Yeah, it's definitely a little different, but it's nice to have some noise in the building and some energy to feed off, I guess. And obviously the kids are super excited to be there too. So it's always nice to hand out some pucks and warm ups and see some smiles in the crowd.
Thomas, I'll let you go on that. Appreciate this, and best of luck with everything going forward.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Olympian Skylar Park is hoping to bring Winnipeg women of all ages together this weekend to kick off the pathway to Paris by holding an inspirational day. There's food, there's fun, there's fitness at the Tayrong Park Academy. The Taekwondo standout holding 3 free sessions. It'll include a motivational presentation from the person who is, I think, Canada's most accomplished Taekwondo athlete. There's an introduction to the sport. You don't need to have any experience. There's basic self-defense exercises for teenage girls and women. There's also snacks, a photo and autograph session, and prize giveaways as the 24-year-old gets set for her second Olympic experience. Earlier today, I caught up with Skylar and started by asking her why she wanted to share her love of Taekwondo with the community.
Yeah, I think Taekwondo has given me so much and brought so much into my life. I think especially as a girl and as a woman growing up in a combat sport, it's given me so much confidence in myself, not only in the sport, but also in my everyday life. And I think I've experienced a lot through the sport, and obviously I don't know it all. I'm still experiencing so much and learning so much, but I think throughout my journey, I have some knowledge that I'd love to share with the younger generation of athletes and girls growing up, just to help instill that confidence and that belief in themselves within each of the girls.
How old were you when you started Taekwondo?
I started Taekwondo as soon as I could walk. in my parents' Taekwondo school in Winnipeg, the Taekwondo Academy, which is where we're going to be holding the event.
So pretty much you were predestined to do this.
I was, yes. Yeah.
Did you love it right away? Was there any choice?
I mean, there wasn't a choice. I was probably like 1-2 years old when I started. And so, but I remember loving it. And part of that was because I was doing it with my family. Everyone in my family did Taekwondo, my cousins, aunts, uncles, my grandparents, and my parents and my siblings. And so every day we were there all training together, having fun together, learning together. And yeah, I really just fell in love with the sport at an early age and had really big goals from an early age as well.
Did you know from an early age that you were good at it?
I think I was good at it because I was just surrounded by it all day, every day. And so I was just there all the time having fun with it and playing and trying new things. And so, I think in that sense, yes. My parents say when I was younger and I started competing, I would cry all the time. So I don't know. It depends who you talk to.
Fair enough. So this goal of yours to become the best, I guess, what are the checkpoints? Did you ever make a list of things you wanted to accomplish?
Yeah, I think from a young age, there was one goal that obviously really stood out to me. And I would tell my parents all the time that I wanted to win a gold medal for Canada at the Olympic Games. And so I qualified for the games in Tokyo in 2020. That didn't go quite as planned, but I'm qualified now for Paris again and obviously have a new outlook on that, have more experience, and I'm a much more mature athlete. But I also have had so many other goals along the way, many of which I've reached, some which I haven't yet, and I still hope to. And one of the big goals for me is to bring the community together and to spread the lessons that Taekwondo has given me to others, and just to help inspire the next generation of athletes, young boys, but especially young girls, really, to find that confidence that I found through the sport.
Yeah. What are some of the lessons you've gained over the years doing this sport beyond wanting to win? What are some of the things that you've taken with it into your day-to-day life?
Yeah, I think the ability to set goals, like I said, from a young age, I had really big goals, and to dream really big, I think, is a huge one. And then obviously along the way, what comes with that is the hard work, the dedication, the discipline, and those that carry into my everyday life. But then a big one for me was the confidence. And I think that's what Taekwondo has given me the most of, and allowed me to carry that confidence into every other aspect of my life.
What can people get out of it if they've never tried it before?
Yeah, I think, first of all, it's just a really fun sport to do. Anyone can do it. You know, you don't need a bunch of equipment like you do from some other sports. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, it is a martial art, which is there for self-defense. And so you have the ability to defend yourself in situations through learning the sport, which I think as women and as girls, I think is an important thing to have, just that extra level of confidence, knowing that, you know, if something ever were to happen, you would have the ability to defend yourself. I think that's huge as well, for sure.
How many people are you expecting to come out to this? And I guess another question is, how much room do you have for people this weekend?
Yeah, I think we're hoping we have capacity for around just over 200. And so there's going to be over 3 sessions. The first one's going to be for younger girls. The second one is for kind of a mix of ages. I know a lot of moms wanted to come with their daughters and come have fun together and learn a new sport and just hang out. And then the last one is for like teens and adults. And so that one we're going to focus a little bit more on the women's self-defense aspect. And yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. My sponsors have also donated some gifting. So all the girls attending will get some gifting from some of my sponsors. There's going to be prizes and everything like that. And so, yeah, I'm excited just to bring a lot of the members of my community together and get to celebrate this.
That's awesome. So looking at the Olympics, which are getting closer and closer every week, how weird was the 21 games that were the 20 games? It was in Tokyo a year late, COVID. How much did all of that impact the experience for you?
I think it obviously was my first Olympic Games, and so I had very high expectations. But also at the same time, I didn't know what to expect. I had no other Olympic Games to compare it to. And so everything was a first for me. But it was quite a different experience than I'd imagined as a young girl growing up and dreaming of representing Canada in Olympic Games. And other athletes you talk to who have been to previous games before, they were definitely like, this is not what it's supposed to be like. And everyone was like, you have to make another game so you can experience kind of the real magic of the games. And so I'm so excited that I have that opportunity now in Paris to experience that. But Tokyo was definitely a little bit of a weird and different experience for sure.
Now you mentioned you're older now and you have one under your belt. So how much more expectations do you have for yourself going into Paris?
I think that's a big thing for me is that in Paris, I put a lot of pressure on myself and had very high expectations. And obviously those expectations are still there. My dream and my goal is still to stand on top of that podium in Paris. But I think I've just gained a greater perspective as I've matured as a person and as an athlete throughout the sport. And I realized that this is my goal. And it's been my dream. And it's a huge dream. Not many people can get to accomplish that. You know, it's one person every 4 years. And so I'm going to work as hard as I can and do everything I can and try my very best to achieve that dream. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be proud of the work that I put in. And hopefully, you know, I'm end up standing on the top of the podium. But I think you just have to realize that it might not happen, but you're going to try your very best, you know, to try and make that happen. So that's definitely still the goal for me. But I think just kind of a new perspective and a new outlook on the situation is something that I've definitely gained throughout the past 3 years since the Tokyo Games.
How much confidence do you glean from winning gold at the Pan Am Games last year?
That definitely gives me a lot of confidence going into this next season. I finished the season really strong at the end of last year. My game's been going really well. Like I said, the mental capacity in which I'm approaching events and competitions and things like that is going really well. And so it definitely gives me a lot of confidence going forward.
I'm curious, what a typical week of training looks like for an Olympic athlete in Taekwondo. How much are you actually doing Taekwondo? How much is in the gym? Just take us through what a week looks like for you.
Yeah, I do. A typical week would be, I mean, it's different all the time, but I'd be on the mats training Taekwondo anywhere from 5 to 6 days a week. And then in the mornings, I'm in the gym or working on my conditioning. And then there's sometimes another session mixed in there in between another Taekwondo session, depending on, you know, how well we're doing. And my dad says we need to, you know, work on some extra things. He gets us back in the gym. But I think it's super busy. There's obviously the training that goes into it, but there's the mental portion, the video analysis, there's the recovery portion and everything in between. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But I love what I'm doing, so I have no complaints for sure.
What other countries are really good at Taekwondo that we have to be on the lookout for at the Olympics?
Korea, obviously, that's the national sport of Korea is Taekwondo, and so they're always very strong in the sport. Great Britain's strong, China's strong, Jordan's really strong. I think it's a really cool sport because, like I said, it's an easily accessible sport. You can kind of practice it from anywhere, and so there's a really wide range of countries that are at the top of the sport for sure.
Awesome. So if people want to come out to this event on the weekend, just remind us again where it is and how they can get involved.
Yeah, so it's on March 3rd at the Taerong Park Academy on 95 Schofield Boulevard. So just any girls, any woman in the community, I'd love for you to come out. We can hang out. Like I said, we're going to do some basic Taekwondo, some women's self-defense. There's going to be snacks. There's going to be prizes. And yeah, I think just bringing all the members of the community together and bringing them along with me on this journey towards the Olympics in Paris is really the goal. So you can RSVP to skylar.paris2024@trpacademy.com. And yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, Skylar, thanks for this. Best of luck with everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again.
Come on and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you of the deal. You may not share our intellect.